much as we don't know, people who don't know the life of the church, we actually celebrate the life of St. Nicholas every Thursday. Every day of the week is a special celebration. Sunday, of course, the resurrection, and Monday, the bodiless powers, Tuesday, John the Forerunner, Wednesday and Friday, the betrayal of the cross, Saturday, the martyrs, especially, and all the departed. But when a Thursday is the Holy Apostles and St. Nicholas. So he's remembered 53 times a year, at least. Each day is each Thursday of the year on the 6th. Why do we have the Holy Apostles and St. Nicholas? Why are they lumped together? I think it's important lesson for us to remember that in the life of the church, what is given to us now, what we have here in the beginning of the 21st century, has been passed down, handed down, delivered from one person to another, from one generation to another, for these last two millennia. And this is what the church calls holy tradition. And I think on Thursdays, what we really celebrate is holy tradition. The holy tradition has its source and origin in the Father. Jesus frequently says, the things that I do, the things that I say to you, I receive from my Father. He gave them to me, he delivered them to me, he handed them over to me. We don't have the verb to tradition in English, but in Greek there's the verb, or didomion, to hand over, to deliver, to tradition. And so the Son received what he had from the Father, and he frequently tells them that what he's received from the Father, he's given to the disciples. The disciples, the apostles, were recipients of this gift that came from the life of the Holy Trinity, and they're told by our Lord to go and teach this to other people, to pass this on. St. Paul frequently uses this word several times in his epistles to remind them of this practice of tradition. St. Jude uses it as well, that he's delivered to them, handed over, his tradition to them, what it is that he himself had received from the Lord. So we call this apostolic succession. The Father gave to the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit to the apostles laid their hands and ordained various people as bishops to pass on this life that has been flowing out from the life of the Holy Trinity. And generation after generation, bishops laid hands on bishops, laid hands on bishops, and on priests, and to protect, to guard, to cherish, to preserve this living faith. This living faith is really the life of the Holy Trinity. So St. Nicholas is given to us, I think, as a kind of paradigm of a bishop who has received, been entrusted with this deposit, who protects it and cherishes it, preserves it, and lives it in such a way that it is passed on to others. So St. Nicholas, in a way, is not only important for himself, but important as a representative of all of the bishops who have had this role throughout the ages, as a kind of standard bearer for them, a paradigm, an exemplar. And so about him, I wanted to say two things, one from the Troparion and one from his life, about this role of protecting, preserving, passing on this deposit of faith, this holy tradition. The first comes from the Troparion. It says that there, it's different translations, I think we sing the rule of faith, and this is most common. The rule, sometimes people say the example or the model of faith, it's the word for canon. It's the canon of faith. And the word canon, it's not really an easy or good translation into English, but it's the notion of it being like a straight edge or a plumb line. There's something which you can align other things, make other things straight, not just sort of determine if this line is straight. No, it's curved, but actually shape things in order to, in light of this model, this straight line. And canons are straight lines and that we could look to, as it were, strengthen our lives. The canon, a person who is a canonized person, a saint, is someone that the church sets before us to say, here's someone who's lived the life in such a way that you can set your life in that direction. You can point your life in that direction. And it will help straighten you up. In the simplest way, you know, if we stand next to someone who's standing very straight, we might ourselves kind of straighten up. We sit next to somebody who's sitting straight, and we start to, if we stand next to the saints, we start to stand straighter, more upright. And so what we want for our bishops, what we want to pray for them for, what we yearn for them is to be this canon, this line of the living faith, which is being passed down to us so that we ourselves have that image to stand next to straighten us up. Not so much by our own effort, but because by the very nature of this living faith, it works in us. It's the love of God poured out in us that straightens us up. So St. Nicholas is the canon of faith for us, the straight line. And then the other thing from his life is especially true of the role of bishops in our lives. He's noted for his immense compassion and generosity in caring for people in need, falsely accused, on death row, virgins who have to be pawned off, who turned into harlots. He's willing to offer money, give money, say, but got dowry so they can be married and live a proper life within the context of marriage. He's a gift giver. That's how we remember him popularly in the culture. But his life is a life of generosity. But there's also a few instances, especially in his interaction with Arius in the First Ecumenical Council, where he's particularly stern. And I think that these two characteristics, this sternness when heresy is involved, when the church is threatened, St. Paul warns the elders at Ephesus that there's going to be wolves that are coming in to destroy the flock. You have to be on guard for them. You have to protect the flock. And so St. Nicholas was a protector of the flock. He was willing to be stern when it had to, when it was appropriate, when it was needed. His life wasn't characterized by sternness. It was when the flock was threatened. His life was characterized by this compassion, this generosity, this care and help for those in need. So these two characteristics and the discernment to apply them in the right context is profoundly important for the whole episcopacy throughout the generations, that our bishops have the wisdom and the courage and strength to be stern when sternness is needed. But that happens in a life of compassion and care and really feeding the flock, like our Lord directed Peter to nourish us. And then finally, I want to say that it's not that St. Nicholas was perfect. St. Nicholas was a sinful person just like every other person who's been born, just like the apostles, just like the descendants from them that they laid hands on. But they weren't defined by their sins. We aren't asking or expecting that God gives us perfect bishops or that he requires perfect bishops to preserve and protect this deposit of faith that's being passed down. But people who are, like the rest of us, striving for Christ to straighten them. There may be people who are further along the path, but in their humility, not afraid or ashamed to admit their own wrongs and their own failings, their own need for Christ himself. And in the end, that's really what we yearn for. This is also in the Trapari for St. Nicholas, is that the life of humility is the life of dependence on God. We celebrate St. Nicholas and all of the saints because they let God work in them. In spite of their frailties and weaknesses and sinfulness, they did give in to those temptations as a way of life. They let God heal them and strengthen them so that they themselves could become straightened up and a rule for the rest of us, a standard in which we can strive toward with their, by their intercessions. But also people who will protect us, sternly protect us when we need protection in the midst of a life of compassion for us. So we thank God for St. Nicholas and his role, not just as who he is, but as kind of the standard and the paradigm in the life of the church for what we yearn for in our bishops and what we pray for, and remembering that this is not just a set of doctrines or teachings that were being passed down, but in fact it's the life that flows out of the Trinity and is offered to us, is poured out in our hearts, is passed down from person to person, generation to generation. The Holy Tradition is living. It's communion with the Creator of the universe and the Creator in each and every one of us. So may God grant us bishops who yearn to be like St. Nicholas, and may God give the bishops that we have the strength and courage and wisdom to fulfill the calling, the great and high calling that God's given them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.